we move forward once we know where we're going, once we know what is missing and what we want to bring into our life, what we desire.
Welcome to the Self-Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you, who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Self-Starter is all about connection, community, and growth. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to another podcast called GingerBiz, which has a very similar mission. GingerBiz is tailored for high achievers and multi-passionate individuals, just like you, offering insights into marketing strategies, social media dynamics, human resources topics, the realities of motherhood, and effectively managing a full-time career. Oh, and did I mention the host of the show, Katie, was recently on episode 80 of Self-Starter? If you've been loving our episodes and looking for another show to add to your lineup, then head over to GingerBiz. I'll see you there. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what's next? I know I sure have, and today's guest, Kathy Batista, has as well. Today, she is a mood, mindset, and mindfulness coach specializing in midlife women. Kathy shares her unique approach to helping clients navigate the pivotal what's next question that often arises during the stage of life. We explore her strategies for tackling limiting beliefs that can hold individuals back from embracing new opportunities. And Kathy also reveals her powerful three-pillar approach to coaching, shedding light on how these pillars can empower women to embrace change and thrive in their next chapters. If you've ever asked yourself the question, what's next, no matter your age, then this episode is for you. Kathy, I've been really looking forward to this conversation today. I know we had a little bit of a delay because of outside forces like power outages. So when I say I'm extra excited for this interview, I am extra excited. So how are you feeling today?
Oh, Megan, me too. I'm so, so excited. Today's the perfect day. It always happens that way.
It really does. I truly believe that things happen for a reason. I mean, I'm looking out. I know people can't see you right now, but your scenery is just gorgeous. It's a beautiful day. It's the same thing over here in California. So like I said, I think this was meant to be. There's a lot of different ways that we can take today's conversation, but I first would love to just have you introduce yourself a little bit about who is Kathy and a little bit more about the work that you do as you help women in their midlife.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Kathy Batista, and I'm over here in Rhode Island, quite far away from you, Megan, in California. But I do mood, mindset, and mindfulness coaching with midlife women. And I help people answer that question, like, what's next? Or why am I feeling off? You know, we come through these times in life where we just feel like there's this almost like this itch we can't scratch. And it happens often, but the ones that happen, you know, late 30s, early 40s, are those first few ones we realize, wait a minute, there's nobody here guiding me. So that's when it happened to me. And I struggled for a good number of years. And when I found my way and found amazing tools, mentors, coaches, I said it would not be very nice if I had all this information and I wasn't able to turn around and help another woman kind of get through those moments.
I think it's so needed. And I know that your focus is really on midlife and really starting in the late 30s, but I'm 33 and I can relate to this so, so much. I mean, I was having these feelings in my mid 20s thinking, Is this it from a professional standpoint? Like, really, what's next? And I think a lot of people just are feeling that way today. They're wanting more, but they're not really sure what that more is. So I'm curious just to dive a little bit more into kind of your experience. I know you said you felt this in your late 30s. So what was it that was going on in your life that you really took a step back and were like, this can't be it. There has to be more.
Right. Yeah. And you're right. Back to what you were saying about how in your, you know, late 20s, you were feeling this sort of questioning of this really can't be it. Is this everything that I've done to get to this point? And this is it, right? And you're 100% right. This happens throughout a person's life. And that's why I definitely am always like, midlife is not an age. It's this phase that we go through. And just like any other phase in life, it hits people at different times. So really to be locked in at this number, right? Like it actually adds to the feelings of something's wrong. You know, if you're younger than, you know, what you would typically consider midlife 50 and you're having feelings, it's like, what's the matter? So I can definitely dive in and share my sort of late 30s transition that I went through. And it's funny because it's sort of the same thing. It's that question, something is off and I don't know what it is. But for me at that point in time, it was around like 37, something felt off, but everything on the outside looked so good. I had, you know, my amazing husband, my children, a great home in a great neighborhood, you know, my family's well, my extended family's well, friends, everything looked great. But on the inside, I can honestly say, like, I felt like I was just dying, like a shell of myself. It was an effort to wake up and smile and be like, good morning. And when you've got younger kids, you know, at that point in time, my kids were, let's see, 7 through 15. And so they're really needing you. And so you're needing to put on a face, a mask, and that feels even worse, right? So I struggled for years with this internal feeling, this just hole, this emptiness. And I didn't know what to do or what was wrong. I had no idea there was something called perimenopause. I had no idea because on top of feeling crappy, my cycle's a mess. One month it's like major, the next month it's not there. You're crying for no reason. It just is all over the place. And I didn't know why. I didn't ask for help. I tried to find anything and everything to make myself feel better. I shopped out of control. I ate out of control. I drank out of control. I just did anything I could to make those feelings go away. And now if you've ever bought a really nice handbag, you know, it works for a little bit, right? Or you know, you have a few cocktails and you feel good, life looks good. And then you wake up and inevitably the next new purse comes along, right? So that it never, ever satisfied that need of feeling better, that need of what was next. And so I meet so many women now who can say, I really relate to that feeling of just trying to shove anything into this human size hole to make yourself feel better. When oddly enough, the answers are inside of us too, along with those holes. And it's just a matter of having the compassion for ourselves and finding somebody who can compassionately guide you through these times.
And I think there's something about what you said about everything on the outside looked great, but you were really kind of suffering in silence. And I think a lot of women in particular do choose to suffer in silence and go through all this because they're looking at what they have and they're thinking, gosh, I have everything that I could ever ask for, but why am I feeling this way? I mean, can I justify these feelings? People might think I'm crazy. They might think basically whatever society is thinking about you, like we're so concerned about that, or someone else's problem is bigger. So I make it a little bit smaller because my problem isn't as big. And I think we often do this to ourselves. I mean, I know I've been guilty of it. I'm like, I have a wonderful house. I have a husband. I have like everything on paper. It looks great. But sometimes like, it's okay to want more. And I think,
oh, it's more than okay.
Yes.
Yes, it's absolutely more than okay. And I agree. There's this element, and it was such a buzzword for a while, that toxic positivity. And really, I like to reframe it in that any and all emotions are welcome. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm feeling crappy and want more, I shouldn't have to validate that. Just as when I'm in a great mood and everything looks great, like nobody says, well, why? Why do you feel that way? You shouldn't really feel that way. Stop feeling that way. So all of it is emotions. All of it is welcome. It's part of this human experience. But I found when we sit too long in those lows, in those lonely times, and we're by ourselves and we're not understanding what's happening mentally, physically, emotionally, it's compounded when we're silent about it. And so that's when it's, you know what, talk about it with somebody, reach out. And like I mentioned, perimenopause, that can come really at any time. It's the same thing as we were talking about ages. Like, we don't know, right? I mean, I'm sure we can think back to when we were in, you know, middle school, and when girls got their period, it was like, I haven't gotten mine yet. When did you get yours? And it's all over the place, like within years of each other. And so it's the same thing later in life, right? Still, we can be there for each other.
And that's the thing that I think it's important to highlight, is that we can be there for each other. We shouldn't have to suffer and sit in this alone. In fact, the more that we sit alone in silence, we're actually doing a disservice to other people. I mean, it's like the oxygen mask. You can only help others once you've helped yourself first. So there's so much beauty for you to be able to give, but you can only give if you're taking care of your own needs first.
Oh, definitely. It's so true. And it's is something that I constantly still need to work at. I think that as I, you know, with my children growing, my husband, we're changing everything, I'm still this person that wants to be there for other people. And I really have to remind myself, I know now the signs of slipping back into that place that I don't want to be, and I'm quicker to recognize them. And that comes from sharing and talking about it and speaking up and saying, hey, you know what? I really need to take this time for myself and I'm going to do this. And it doesn't have to be what people necessarily think of as self-care, because I did all that during that time too. Like, I mean, how many massages can you get, but it still doesn't make you feel any better, right? So it really is a matter of reaching out and reaching up. And we are all so much more alike than we are different. And I bet if you share those feelings of, okay, I'm nervous about this, or I'm feeling uncomfortable about this, or you know what, I get it. Life looks pretty good, but I'm feeling horrible. Be able to say that to people in your life.
I completely agree with that. And I know when I was browsing around your website, I saw that you had a quote and you said, I understand what it's like to feel unfulfilled and unable to shed limiting beliefs that keep you from experiencing joy and purpose in life. So I think that it's a good transition into understanding what are some of the limiting beliefs that you had, and what are you also seeing some other limiting beliefs that women have just in general?
We've already actually labeled one of them without even saying this is a limiting belief. I decided this, and that's what a belief is. You make a decision to believe that based on XYZ. I had this belief that if my outside life looked good, I had nothing to complain about. That was it. It didn't matter if I felt bad, if I was having an off day, if everybody and everything looked good. That right there was a huge limiting belief. I also find for myself that limiting belief kind of comes up in disguise. That's the disguise. And the underlying belief is that I'm not enough. I'm not good enough, or oftentimes I feel like I'm too much, right? So it's this, you have everything but nothing. I'm too much, I'm too little, right? So where can we find that, you know what, I'm just enough? And my favorite book and or anecdote that kind of helps me get through this is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, in that every day I try my best. But I know that every day my best is different and contingent upon that day. But if I'm trying my best for that day, then I know I can put my head down at the end of the night. So that's how I combat that feeling of, is it too much? Is it too little? Right? No, I'm doing the best I can right now. And I know I am. But for a lot of the ladies that I work with, and like I said, we're all a lot more alike than we are different. A lot of the beliefs come up with, I'll fail. What will happen? If I try, I'm going to fail. You know, all these beliefs of, we think we're going to fail when we don't even know what we're going for. How can you say you're going to fail if you don't have this plan of where you're headed, right? So that's where it's like, okay, let's back up and we will totally take a look at everything that surrounds that inner belief that you have. But we need to first get clear on where it is, you know, where it is you want to go. And often that is when we ask what's missing, right? What value in your life isn't being expressed? How can we bring that in? So it's a lot of reverse engineering because we know what we want and what we don't want, but we don't know the way to get there sometimes.
Oh goodness, I relate to that one so much. It's easier to identify what it is you don't want, but actually trying to figure out what it is in fact that you do want is sometimes the hardest part. But by reverse engineering it, you can get to that. But everything that you just talked about, I mean, you were talking about how we're more alike than we're not. And I'm nodding my head over here as you're talking because I can relate to each one of these different points. Like you're talking about that we feel as women that we can't complain because, like we said, on the outside, it looks great. I mean, this has been, in full transparency, a really difficult year for me. And I could have complained, but I have chosen not to. I've been trying to find the positive in every situation to be able to take life as like a glasses half full type of deal rather than the glasses half empty. And that's personally my coping mechanism in order to keep moving forward because I have to constantly look for the good. But I also have to remind myself personally that it's okay to feel these things, that it's okay to complain every now and then and to feel the feels. Because it's all relative, like all of our experiences are relative and they all mean something to us. And then the second point you're talking about with us being not enough or too much. I mean, here I am, I'm building a business and I find myself sometimes having these thoughts that, you know what, I don't know if I'm quite there yet. I don't know if I'm good enough to be able to sell these services. Why would someone want what I have to offer? And I'm finding myself in these negative patterns and limiting beliefs. But I also have to remind myself that I have to push that stuff away and move forward despite all of these feelings, because these limiting beliefs, they're going to pop up, I think, no matter what. I think it's just up to us to be able to recognize them, see where they're coming from, and move forward despite them.
Definitely. There's a few things that I'm like, oh, Megan, I want to talk to you. But we definitely don't want to push anything away. We need to acknowledge it. The more we push something away, the bigger and stronger it's going to get, right? Like if we think even about like, if it's a kid who wants something, right? And you're like, no, not now. Like, I've never seen a kid in my life like give up there, right? Like, it's like louder, 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 maybe full-blown tantrum. It gets louder. So it's really important to listen to those feelings and honor them. I 100% understand where you're coming from. Okay, I want to look at how I can spin this positive, right? And I want to even encourage you to not use the word complaining, because if you just say, I'm feeling crappy about this and I'm going to let myself feel that way for a little bit, and then I'm going to like get clear. Now you've addressed that part of you, that inner critic, that inner child, that inner voice, and said, I hear you. Because it's not complaining. It's just acknowledging that part of you. And then you're able to move forward. I mean, I always say, I love a good pity party. I will bring cake. Embrace it all, because that's what's going to get us through. It's pushing it down. It's not going to go anywhere. Like there's no hole in our body that it's going to fall out of. It's there and it's compacted, compacted, compacted. Let's deal with it, acknowledge it. And then the quicker we can get to the point where those positive affirmations feel real and seem real.
No, I agree with you. I do think it's important to listen, like you said, listen to it and also acknowledge where this is coming from. It's almost like a Band-Aid. If you just move forward, it's a temporary fix, but it's never really going to heal. So I think it's important to acknowledge it and to work through it. But I guess where I'm coming from is that sometimes that you don't really have a choice other than to continue to move forward, because I think you do have an option to stay in the pity party and eat your cake, which, believe me, I am all for some cake as well. But it's important also to take some action. And I think that's really where you're helping women to acknowledge all of this, but also to work through it together and really to take it to the next step where they're able to really tap into a life that does provide them with joy and more purpose and fulfillment.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree with you, because it goes back to the comment on reverse engineering. Like, we need to take care of those feelings, the feelings of inadequacy, the feelings of wanting more, needing more, and then we move forward. Definitely. Because the goal is to create a life that brings you joy and fulfillment. And maybe this sounds negative, but I guarantee once you develop your life that brings you joy and fulfillment, life will happen and that will no longer bring you joy and fulfillment. So this is where we can look for evidence. Okay, I've done this before. I've changed before. I've grown before. I've honored myself before, and I'm going to do it again, because that's what life is about. Just these growing transitions.
Well, and I think we were talking about this before we even hit record today, but as humans, we are constantly growing and evolving. So to be able to understand kind of where feelings are coming from and really how you're able to overcome them and work through them and to be able to do it again, we're cyclical beings. So it's going to happen again, but you've actually created a three-pillar approach to be able to help women with overcoming limiting beliefs. So can we go ahead and just dive into your approach and really how you're helping these women?
Yeah, definitely. I love that I stumbled onto this approach and created it, because it's really this evolution of my coaching and how I've learned to help myself and other women. Is the three pillars are mood, mindset, and mindfulness. And when I first started coaching, I did a lot of mindset, a lot of thought coaching. And it's amazing work and it does work. But what I found was we can create mindsets, we can create ways of being, but if we aren't moving through an intentional and intuitive way of living, which is how I classify mindfulness, then it just is like reading from a book. It doesn't feel aligned. Once we connect with that inner voice, like we were talking about, that inner child, that inner voice, your intuition, your guidance, once we tune into that, we create mindsets that are functional, that actually help us to grow. And then the next thing that I fell upon was I realized through myself and through the women that I work with, your mind and your body and your soul cannot learn and cannot change unless you are in a state of parasympathetic. So when we're constantly in this state of fight or flight, when our nervous system is always on, always high, that's when that little gremlin in our head is constantly like, you're not good enough. You're too much right now. You need to do that. You're not doing that right. Just be quiet. All of these things is going, because it's got this keep us safe attitude. So mood work is really nervous system regulation, brain wellness. We really work hard with our parasympathetic system, our vagus nerve, because when we set the stage, which is our body and our mind, through that type of work, through mood work, when we set the stage, then we can hear our inner voice more clearly. We learn mindfulness techniques better. Then now we're able to connect to a mindset that really resonates with us and we can grow from. A lot of times when we dive straight into mindset, we get off the rails because we're like, this isn't working. Just doesn't feel good. It's not working. I can't do this. So when we kind of go back to basics and we look and explore where we can bring nervous system regulation into our life, even for a little bit, even for like a few minutes a day, it is so profound. The whole thing works out so much better.
Yeah. When you said going back to basics and really like center regulation, can you just describe a little bit more about what that means and how someone can go about doing that?
Oh yeah, definitely. So when we are in a state in our sympathetic nervous system, which is keeping us in this state of constant fight or flight, we really want to learn how to tap into the parasympathetic nervous system when we're in this rest and digest period. You want to make sure that your body and your mind and your soul are open and able to receive information that you're giving it or that it's acquiring from everything around it. So ways that people can do that are so simple. And a lot of these terms like nervous system regulation and brain-based wellness, all of these things, we already all know about them. We already all know to kind of maybe take a few nice breaths before you eat. So that is one way to calm your body before entering into another stimulus like eating, right? So when we want to relax, we're not going to maybe do like a run around the block, right? We're going to do some deep breathing exercises. And there's so many different types of ways to access this. And when you find a way that works for you, it's something that's repeatable that you can take with you into different situations. And so there's techniques that I'll teach that somebody can use them on the fly. So a lot of it is stuff that nobody can see you doing, right? So if you were to extend your hand out and take your thumb and just slowly tap each pad of your fingers, starting your forefinger, and then you go down to your pinky and tap back up, you'll notice that you're already calming your body down. If you're about to get into a call with somebody, and it might be a perfectly fine call, but you're a little revved up, right? Doing these things on the side where nobody can really see you doing them, it does take a moment and it calms your body down and centers it. So along with nervous system regulation, I mean, some people take and do legs up the wall, which is like a common yoga pose. And that really sets you into a state of rest and digest. It coincides with mindset work because a lot of the mindset work that I do is subconscious rewiring. And so when you're in a calmer state, you're able to access your subconscious mind more quickly and more effectively. And so then these are techniques like the legs up the wall. I would pair it with an audio, a mindfulness audio that would set you up to receive that audio, like amazing. So I'm not sure. Did that answer your question? I could
it
go
did.
On.
Did. I mean, I'm sitting here literally taking my thumb and like tapping each finger as you're talking about it. And I was thinking that's such a wonderful exercise because it's also something that's discreet. So you can do this anywhere. It doesn't have, I mean, legs up the wall. I mean, it's very effective, but I mean, you're probably going to get some looks if you're doing that in public when you're needing to recenter yourself, but something as simple as taking your thumb and touching each fingerprint and going back and forth, that's a really easy, simple exercise that you can do. Again, that I said is discreet.
Definitely. Another, I love to do chakra balancing and chakra centering work with my clients around mood work, because then we can actually focus on each energy center of your body and each correlates to something else. So if you know you're about to go into like a big, you know, family event, you might really want to center your root, you know, so we do a lot of work with the chakras too.
No, I think that's great. And a lot of the listeners for the podcast are either aspiring entrepreneurs or current female entrepreneurs that are doing things for the first time. And doing things for the first time, it sometimes is a little overwhelming and you get nervous doing something that you've never done before. So these simple exercises are really great mood regulators to be able to help prepare you for this next step.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that we're always learning something new. And I admire any woman that says, you know what, I want something different. I'm going to go out and get it. And a lot of the ladies that I work with, we do some like minor business coaching, because when they go into midlife, maybe you want to start something new. So we can work from that point of view too, and calming your nervous system, getting the right mindset, getting the right mindfulness, learning from our intuition. But it's true, these little things. And it's very powerful to know, like we were talking about, know where you want to go And write that down. If I could guide anybody starting a new business, right? Map it out and know that it can and probably will change, right? Like it always is growing, but write it down. We are 40% more likely to remember and actually do what we write down. Even if you're like typing it into your phone, you're still more likely to take action and remember things if you actually pen to paper, write it down. So powerful for our brain to learn that way.
Oh, so powerful. Anytime I need to remember anything, I have to physically write it down because that's how I absorb the information. And I also have to speak it. So it's one of those things that, I mean, I have to do it all. So you ask me my learning style, it's everything. But there's so much power in like journaling, for instance, like when you need to get out your thoughts, write it down, work through it. And you're talking about basically, you didn't say the word clarity, but I think clarity is really the word that came to mind. About really getting clear on what it is that you want, because it sounds like once these people have the clarity, you can help them achieve it through this three-pillar approach.
Oh, definitely. And I would say you don't, and most of my clients do not have clarity when we first start working together. I mean, as far as being in the weeds, whether it's your business or your life, you can't see out of it, right? And so that's really when you're like, okay, I need some help. I need some guidance. I want, you know, and coaching is a lot of turning around and helping the people that are just those few steps behind you, right? So I work with my coach who's, you know, a few steps in front of me because I aspire to be like that and to learn the things that she's doing. And so what better way than to have someone who's gone through these things, right? So I would say clarity is something that's gained probably within the first few sessions. And then, like you're saying, we move forward once we know where we're going, once we know what is missing and what we want to bring into our life, what we desire.
And I love that you mentioned that you're also working with a coach because it shows us that you're also someone that's constantly growing as a human. So you're not just helping other people, you're also helping yourself. We are humans, like we were talking about earlier, we're constantly growing and evolving, and you're doing that at the same time that you're helping others. So I think some people get stuck because they think that, you know what, I'm not there yet. I don't have anything to offer others. But like you said, you're just a little bit further than other people. So you do have something to offer other people, but also recognize that you still have more to learn at the same time. So everyone's at different places in their lives. And the big value that you can provide here is really providing women with a transformational experience, really helping them uncover what it is that's missing in their life and really helping them to achieve more joy and fulfillment and really working through all these different pillars in order to help them find the best way to get there together.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I'm going through something very similar. So I am 49, I'll be 50 next year. And so last fall, I started to have the same feelings. It's exactly what we were talking. I was feeling, okay, something's not right. Something's off. But I was able to say, I've been here before. I have evidence. And so what do I need to do? I need to get some help. I need to look forward to women that have gone before me. People say what you will, right? But women always really want to help each other. We want to see each other succeed. And so there's always somebody who's just those few steps above you and can help you.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to seek it out because we do not have to suffer in silence. We're meant to do this together. We're meant to link arms. I am all about like community and connection over competition. So we're all in this together. We truly want to win and succeed together. But for someone that's maybe listening to this and realizing that there's something off in their life, but they're really not sure where it is, I know you have a free quiz on the three pillars. So maybe just touch a little bit on that and what they can expect and what kind of information that can lead them to with potentially working with you.
Definitely. So it's a couple different things that you talked about, because if someone's not sure what's missing, we definitely dive into their values and strengths. And so that is an amazing tool to get clear on what you value, because it changes all the time. So what are you valuing now? And how can we bring that in? And then the way we work the three pillars with mood, mindfulness, and mindset and taking this fun quiz. It's like five questions. And I love taking quizzes, but in this quiz is so fun to me because you can take it and at different points, you'll get different results. The reason I made the quiz is to discover what could help you right now where you're at. And so if you end up with, you really could use some mood guidance, some mood help, then there's tools that are designed for that. And then mindfulness, mindset. But if I'm never been accused of being a gatekeeper, so I couldn't not give everybody all the tools for everything. So no matter what result you get like, there's probably, I want to say, 7 freebies that you have the option to download. If you got mood and the mood freebies don't like do it for you, grab one of the mindfulness or mindset, grab them all, right? Because we can use everything all the time. And there's a few audios on there that I love. There's a chakra audio that I did with focusing on your throat and heart. And that's an amazing audio. And there's audios for mindset, tons of worksheets. It is enough to get you started and maybe even then feel good enough to be where you are, right? And embrace where you are.
I think it is about just embracing the moment too. And I do think like, I know we were talking about this earlier, but everything is a moment where you can learn from. It's just really understanding, learning a little bit more about yourself and the reason why you feel this way, maybe looking into the past and then analyzing things like that. I think everything's a learning experience. And I love, just absolutely love how you're helping women. Now, I always like to ask this question because this is a podcast for highlighting entrepreneurs like yourself. I'd love to just ask you if you had any piece of advice for the woman that is just getting started with her business, what would you tell her?
I would say just start, right? I feel like that we can get lost in the weeds over what color our website's going to be, right? And I love all that stuff. Don't get me wrong, right? Spend some time there, but just start doing whatever the craft is that you want to acquire. So for me, when I first started, I got really lost in, oh, I have to make some Instagram posts and oh, what should I call myself? Like all these things, right? And then I had to say, none of this matters unless I like get in the sandbox and play with some women and help them, right? So it was about getting started. Just get started. Don't worry. And I say this knowing that you probably are going to. Don't worry what other people will think. Don't worry if your first thing fails, because it's never failure. It's just feedback for the future. That's all. So just start and have fun with it, right? I mean, really, just have fun.
Ooh, it's not failing. It's just feedback from the future. I want to use that. No, I agree. Just get started. That's the whole basis of self-starter. That's how I came up with the whole name. It's like just taking that first step, because everything is going to evolve. What you start with today is likely going to be so different than what it is a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because we are meant to change. And I think that's what this conversation has showed me today. It's okay to want more. It's absolutely normal. And it's just a part of life, in that if we do this together, then we will succeed together. We will all have that fulfillment and the joy that everyone's craving.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I mean, really, people, we say, oh, it's okay to want to change. But what really put it in perspective to me was, okay, what do I feel like doing right now? Like when we hang up from this call, what do we feel like doing? Do we want to go and like get out Legos? No, because we've grown, right? Do we want to go to a college party? No, because we've grown. Our wants and needs change. We should expect them to and welcome that change, because every phase is amazing.
So good. And if someone's really wanting to change themselves, where can they go to find out a little bit more about you and what you're doing and potentially work with you?
Sure. So the quiz that we talked about can be accessed on a website. That's Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y-S, kathysquiz.com. Or you can go straight to my website, which is Kathy Batista. And I was told that Batista is a hard word to spell. So I'm going to spell it. Yeah. I don't know who, somebody once told me that. So it's KathyBatista.com and Coach Kathy Batista over on Instagram and Facebook. And I welcome any and all inquiries, questions. In fact, you can go onto my website and click like contact me and you can set up a sample session, a full 1 hour sample session where we just sort of touch onto it and you see if coaching is for you. You see if I am for you. So it's a great opportunity to like, you know, stick your big toe in the pool.
That's a wonderful opportunity. 1 hour of your time, just a free session is a really great giveaway that you're offering these women. So it just shows them how much you truly want to help. So Kathy, thank you so much for just such a fulfilling conversation. I've really enjoyed our time together.
Thank you, Megan.
I think many people can relate to the what's next question. But after this conversation with Kathy, I hope that this question is no longer something you fear, but rather something you can embrace as it opens up new opportunities and experiences for your life. So let me ask you, self-starter, what's next for you? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.